Our speaker is no stranger to our campus. Pastor Tom Nelson is the senior pastor of Denton Bible Church, where he has served as pastor for 27 years. In addition to his Sunday service responsibilities and ongoing men's Bible studies, he disciples, usually on an annual basis, more than 30 young men each year in the Top Gun program that includes ministry, evangelism, and service. Tom has traveled the United States and around the world teaching his nationally known Song of Solomon conference and serves presently at the Dallas Seminary Board of Incorporate Members as well. Tom married his best friend, Teresa, and they're the proud parents of two sons and even prouder grandparents of two grandchildren. Tom, we thank God for you and we thank you for being with us today. Would you welcome Pastor Tom Nelson as he comes to minister to us?
Thank you. Well, I'm going to talk about something that obviously I don't have a Bible here in front of me because it's going to come all out of my experience, and I've never, ever shared this before. But Bill thought it would be a good thing if I came and spoke on it, and I think it would be too. I went from June to August of last year through something I had never heard of. I heard other people had it, but I didn't know I could ever get it, that of clinical depression. Now, I'm not talking about being down or depressed or just downhearted. I'm talking about where something's wrong with you and you don't know what it is. Where I got hijacked by something. I got bushwhacked by something. And I didn't know it really existed. And I hope you don't ever have to find this out yourself. Found out Spurgeon had it. Alfred Lord Tennyson had it. Newton had it, Sir Isaac, Martin Luther had it, William Cowper had it, Charles Stanley had it, Tom Nelson had it, all the greats, all right. I shared it with my congregation whenever I was out for 4 months, and I came back and I gave about 5 minutes to them of what I had been through, and our tape sales and online stuff spiked. Everybody wanted to hear what I had to say for those 5 minutes. And then once I started teaching Romans, it went back down. But everybody wanted to know about having that. I shared it with my congregation, and I got more letters on it. I found out I had had two elders that had been through it, four staff, my secretary. I had had innumerable people in our congregation that had had it, but they never talked about it. It was like being gay, you know. And all of a sudden, you came out of the closet and said, you know, I've been depressed. Nobody ever spoke about it. Newsweek just came out with a deal on it. Half of the Fortune 500 CEOs are going through depression, something or other. $80+ billion was lost last year in America on wages lost through time off through depression. A year ago, if you had asked me what it was, I wouldn't have known. And if somebody had come to me with depression, I would have said, memorize this verse, listen to this tape, pray about it, and quit your sinning. You know? Well, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I was teaching on the Song of Solomon last year at my church, and I'm sitting in a chair on a Sunday night at about 6:45. Feeling fine, had jogged that afternoon, worked in the garden. My favorite day is Sunday, having a marvelous time. And all of a sudden, my blood pressure spiked so high, so quick, my whole body, I could feel my entire body shake when my heart beat. My respiration went up, and I thought I might be having a heart attack, and I went and laid down in my study. It passed. I thought I was okay. They thought, a couple of doctor buddies of mine, that I must have had maybe heat stroke or something like that that you get through, just been too hot, too fast, cooled off too quick. They didn't know. Well, anyway, shortly after that, my body started aching. And it started aching so bad that in the next few weeks, I had to go to the hospital twice. Because of this physical problem, they checked me for Lyme's disease, Legionnaire's disease. They checked me for every disease you could have. And on every analysis that I had, it came back that physically I was perfect. There was no problem. And they didn't know what this was. And then one day, about 2 weeks after this, it was just like the worst flu you could ever had, and it was all physical, just aching all over my body. They checked me for diabetes. All of a sudden, one day, it went from a physical problem, and I mean in a heartbeat, the emotion in me dropped, the bottom dropped out of it. And it wasn't an emotional time, it was an emotionless time. And I have problems, unless you've been through a depression or the flip side of it that is known as acute anxiety, to where your body, and they found out what the pain in my body was adrenaline. That my body was stuck in fourth gear and couldn't get out of it. And what I was feeling was adrenaline. My wife would have to rub my legs at night to get where I could go to sleep. And she could feel my legs crackling. The electricity in my legs would just crackle. And sometimes my whole body would go on fire, just like I'd been dipped in a vat of just lava. And didn't know why. There was no physical reason. But all of a sudden, it just dropped out emotionally. And this is what you feel like. It is a joyless, there is no emotion. Black, and that is the only, when people talk about depression, they talk about a black hole. Because that's what you feel, that you just got dropped into a black hole. You get agoraphobic. You don't want to be around people. Loud noises upset you. I couldn't read. This, the sequencing of ideas, I couldn't read. I couldn't watch a television show. I couldn't read a paper. You start spiraling because you start fretting about what this thing is that you're feeling about that nobody can analyze it. You get despairing because there's nothing you can get at the offset that can fix this. And so it's a hopeless, despairing spiral you start going into. Insomnia, I couldn't sleep from May until November. I couldn't sleep unless I had something that would just knock me out. You would get 4 hours of sleep, you would wake up, and you would feel this thing crawl onto you, and you didn't know what it was. It is scary, it is lonely, and finally, like I said, I'd been to the hospital twice, and now all of a sudden it went from the physical to the emotional. And the two things my wife says you need to do, I would never do because I didn't need it, because I was the Iron Man. All right? I'd produce guys like, well, these, all right? Yeah. All the Denton Bible guys down here. So I didn't think I needed it, but my wife said, you need to go to a doctor, and you may need to go to somebody who can counsel you. Well, I've always been on the other side of a counseling table. I know what the guy is going to say before he says it. I make my living telling everybody God's will, all right? And you want me to go to a counselor. And so I didn't until finally it just kept escalating. It just kept escalating worse and worse. And I just kept waiting for this stuff to break. And there was just a deep despair. And there was no reason. There was no logical reason. I was at the top of my game. I mean, I'm reading the Bible. I'm teaching the Word of God. My schedule would be, and you can see where this probably came from, for years I would do 4 Sunday services. Okay? And then we built a major building and I scaled back to just 3. And then I would get up Monday morning, 6 a.m., do Young Guns at 6 a.m. And that was my day off. And then Tuesday, 5:40 a.m., do Young Guns, 7 o'clock, a men's Bible study. Wednesday, 6 o'clock, teach the Young Guns for an hour, do another men's study at 7. Thursday, meet with my staff. Friday, teach at 6 a.m., another faculty study at 7. And then I would run to an airport on Friday, go to a Song of Solomon conference, speak 6 times, get in an airport, or fly back to an airport, get in a plane, come back, and then start 4 times doing Sunday. And I did that because I loved it. I was also writing books. I was writing study guides. And then doing all the ministry of counseling. I've got one son that's a professional baseball player, and I'm hanging on to him. He's my retirement, all right? So I'm watching him every movement that he makes. But I'm happy. It wasn't like, trust me, there was no big sin. I was no more perverse than I normally had been in all the years of my ministry. So I'm reading the Bible. I'm doing all the things you're supposed to do. So this is not supposed to happen to me. Are you with me? This is not supposed to happen. This stuff happens to other guys. It happens to the guys that I have to counsel. It didn't happen to me. And when I say it hijacked me, I mean it hijacked me. It came out of nowhere. It took 2 months before a guy pinholed it and said, "That's adrenaline. You're hung." And he said, "You're a classic," what was his term? "You're a garden variety problem of depression and anxiety that comes from hyper stress over years." And he said, "Finally, your body said, that's all. We're not going to do this anymore. But I'm loving everything that I'm doing. I didn't know that you could get totally, completely burned out doing what you loved. And I found out you can. I loved everything I did. I kid you not, when I would preach on Sunday, I would wake up on Saturday nights at little two-hour intervals going, is it time yet? Because that's the joy I have reading and communicating my Bible. I honestly can't tell you what I make at our church. I don't know what the check is. My wife handles it anyway. But I just give it to her because I don't care about the money. I'd do it for nothing. So this doesn't happen to bad guys. And it doesn't happen to people that are doing what they hate and finding no contentment. It hit me. My wife said, "You better go to somebody who can talk you down that's been through this, and you better check a doctor who can give you something." And both of those were averse to me. Well, finally, and tell me if this isn't true about help from the outside, one of my elders, one of my closest friends that's an internist, called one of his close friends that's a Hindu psychiatrist. Which is an oxymoron, in a sense, to be a Hindu psychiatrist. And this guy says yes, because this is all the psychiatrist dealt with guys like me. And he said, he's garden variety. Here's what he needs. And he explained something that I had never heard in my life. He said, stress, hyper stress, continued unbroken stress. He said, it causes a, and I'd never heard this, he said, it causes a neurotransmitter in your body that's the largest one in the largest system in your central nervous system. It's called serotonin. Y'all ever heard that word? It's a hot word now since Brooke Shields and her Tom Cruise incident and Lorraine Bracco off The Sopranos that went through this. And he said, serotonin is a neurotransmitter that allows your central nervous system to function. Stress depletes it. Continued stress will eliminate it. And it's like an engine that doesn't have oil. Your mind, your central nervous system seize up. And he said the phenomena is called depression, or the flip side called anxiety. He said that's what he's having. What he's got to do is find what got him into this. In his case, is schedule, because it can be a lot of things that stress you out. He said he's got to take his schedule and start dealing with it, but his body won't catch up for maybe a year, which is always an encouraging deal. His body is going to catch up, because you're talking about some like amino acid type things that have to build back. And he said, here's what he needs to do. He needs to take, and I'd never heard this. In the old days, in depression, you just sedated guys with Valium, with Quaaludes, with something. You made them just where they could just pass out. All right? Now they have. Have y'all ever heard? I'd never heard of an SRI. Has anybody ever heard of an SRI? You depressed guys. Ever heard of this? Yeah. He said he needs to take an SRI. I said, what is an SRI? He said, it is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. He said, your body is cannibalizing its own serotonin. You need something that will inhibit your body from doing that and allow your body to go back to its natural level. He said, it doesn't do anything to you. It lets your body normalize. He said, it'll take a month to work. It builds back. He said, take this if it spikes and it'll give you your life back. a little deal called Ativan. He said, take this, and within 20 minutes, the symptoms, it doesn't replace anything, but it just gives you your, it'll take that phenomena away. The name of the SRI was called Lexapro. I'd never heard of it. 10 milligrams is like a little bitty aspirin. Well, anyway, you may debate about taking, I don't like the term medication because that gives the connotation of sedating. It doesn't do anything to you. But after about a month, your body starts leveling out. And so you may have questions about whether a Christian should take this or that. You get in that state, and I'll assure you, you will take rat dung, all right? I think it was Spurgeon that said that. Well, I start taking, 10 milligrams. And I'm talking about an aspirin. And I take this little deal in August. And by the end of August, I could kind of sit around there and go, hey, something lifted. You don't feel different. You feel like you. You could talk to people. You could watch a movie. You could read. You could interact. By September, I was physically getting my stamina back. I got to where I couldn't run, couldn't jog, couldn't do anything. Didn't have any stamina. October, I started preaching again. And I had been ramping up to this for so long that I was working so hard that a lot of my joy wasn't there. Y'all ever do that? Where you forget the reason you're doing this? And his yoke was not easy and his burden was not light because of my working. And so I had to cut out about 60% of my schedule. So now I'm just a regular old preacher, you know, that's what I do. And a lot of my, and it was funny, but the happiness that I had, a joy just that wasn't there because it wasn't so much work as it was ministry. Even though I loved what I was doing, I just couldn't handle all that I was doing. Well, let me tell you what I learned. I've got about 10 minutes here. I learned, number one, that you do need to rest. I asked Bill one time, he said, I want you to come talk on depression. I said, how many guys have ever talked on depression at this seminary? They checked it out on the computer. Only one other guy had ever talked on it, and it was me. Back about 2 years ago, all right? So you've got my objective message and then my subjective message. What to do and what happens if you don't, all right? It's a little booklet that we're putting out. But I learned to rest. I learned to rest. And you can get completely burned out doing what you love. Do y'all know that? You can do it. I wouldn't have believed it. But you can burn out doing what you love. You have to make yourself rest. And most of us who are in here are your type A guys anyway. We like to hit it. And the more we hit it, the more we like it. I love being poured out. I love being expended. And you got to watch it. The next thing I learned is we can't take anything for granted. A lot of times we as Christians have an idea of the mind that it's this independent aspect of our being outside of the cosmos that operates totally uninhibited by anything. And you find out your mind is affected by a lot of things and those things are fallen and you can get screwed up really quick. And I didn't realize that our mind is not a given. The most wonderful thing in the world for me right now is to sit and just read a Bible and feel nothing but good. I'm a worthless individual now, basically, because of just being able to sit and just enjoy the phenomena of just feeling normal. It's a blessing. And so I learned that you can't take your mind for granted. I also learned empathy. When you go through something like this that is scary because there's nothing, you can't MRI it, you can't X-ray it, and your life is gone pretty much. And there's nothing physically that you can put your hand on. And when people come to you that are hurting bad, you've been there. He comforts us in all of our afflictions that we might be able to comfort those in any affliction with the comfort by which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so now I have a ministry when people are going through this, they now call me. I'm now the lightning rod. Anybody that hears that tape calls me, and I talk to them about what they need to do. So it'll make you empathetic with people that hurt. Make you appreciate the love of your mate. I found out from a counselor that a lot of the people that go through this go through a divorce because their mate just says, when I said better for worse, I wasn't thinking this, and I'm out of here. My wife stuck right by me in all of this. And I'd say to her at times, I'd say, darling, you didn't realize this when you, you know, signed up for this deal, but you're here with me. I lost 20 pounds in about a month over this because your body is just in high gear all the time. My wife said, you lost it, I found it. All right? Because she did. She put on 20 just out of, you know, her depression that she was in now for me. And you know what else I found out? Of how many people struggle that I didn't know. I literally had people all over my church that said, I've been through that. I'm talking about businessmen, extremely successful. Three of them came to me and gave me the same lying in the floor in the fetal position story. Three of them. And they said, we went through this. And what you had to do, we had to do too. Well, I was able also to get, I'd never had a counselor. I found a counselor in Dallas who had went through it himself. Because when you go through this, you want somebody that's been there. Because they're the only ones that really understand what you feel. You ever seen the movies of the guys who are on a plane and the pilot has a heart attack and they grab some guy from the plane and make him land this thing and he has no earthly idea what he's doing? But somebody has to get on the headphones to him that knows that plane and has been there and can talk him down, that can speak objectively into this spiral that this guy is on in this plane to talk him down. And I had a guy like that. And we would meet and I would say, man, I'm feeling this way. He'd say, you're okay. I felt that way. Is this okay? You're all right. I did this. And he just talked me through this. And so God took me to the very end of all of my talent, all of my training, all of my everything. And it was just him. As a matter of fact, it was the only time in my life I could not abide in my Bible because I could not process nouns and verbs and direct objects. I could not take print. And I mean, God just had to take his arms and take me through this. And so I realized the blessedness of having a guy encourage you step by step. Now, what would I tell you? Number one, rest. Rest. Make it a discipline. Number two, when you go out there into the ministry, men or women, you need to be aware of our culture and who you're ministering to. Our culture produces this like sweets produce decay. I don't think that we had just as much depression years ago, but we talk about it now more. I don't believe that. I think that our culture produces stress as a national byproduct. Would y'all agree with that? We produce stress. That's why they have said that the happiest people in America, by statistics, are the Amish. It's a fact, or so they say. And they're never wrong, all right? But they say that it's the Amish. So we're in this deal where everybody has their little, you know, task that they can do, and you network and you rest on these other dominoes in Western civilization, and a lot of times our civilization on OPEC and our on this, on that, and it gets scary out there. And so you're going to talk to people that have this. Christians, generally speaking, and I'm talking about us, me, we don't have a clue when this comes on the table. I'd been ministering in our church since 77. And if anybody had come to me like me, I would have given them some bromides. Are you with me? Read this, say this, and if it hurts when you do this, quit doing it. That's all I could have given them. Christians fall into this thing a lot of times and immediately moralize it. And there may be a moral reason why they're having stress. That may be the reason. But quite often, people do this simply out of great responsibility and that they'll fall into it. But there's always somebody that's going to do a Bildad, a Zophar, and an Eliphaz on you. Y'all had Zook? All right. That's Job's pals. And they'll immediately say, well, what's your sin? And you've got to be careful about that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a statement to you that I've thought about. So I ought to tell you, but I tell people that come to me in depression, I say to them, be careful of sharing this with evangelicals. A lot of times the pagan is more compassionate. A lot of times the pagan won't do a knee-jerk reaction to you. But the Christian will all of a sudden go dark ages on you. He'll go medieval on you. Well, what's your sin? So I say, be careful. Because if you want to get depressed really bad, in the midst of your depression, have somebody knee-jerk and moralize you, because in a depression, all you're aware of is sin anyway. I got to tell you this. I made the mistake in a depression of wanting to read some stuff. I read John Owen's The Mortification of Sin. I'm serious. Don't do that. All right? Number two, Christians will not merely moralize. Christians will scorn treatment as if their mind is this Platonic ideal outside of matter that is not affected. Your mind is affected by stuff and it's fallen. Amen? It is fallen. And it can get touched by stuff that we hadn't discovered a whole lot except in the last 15 years. And so, I mean, they won't in any way want it. I'll talk to guys in this seminary that I've talked to and counseled that said, you know, I want to deal with this on my own. And this is the same guy taking Lipitor, Flomax, and Cialis, all right? And yet he's going to deal with this on his own. So, too many guys doing this. Right? Now listen to me. It's what Stanley says before he's going to say something powerful. Now listen to me. When I told Bill I want to come here and talk about depression, normally when guys talk about depression, you don't talk about medicine. But I'm talking about it. That's probably the reason God made me go through this. Because I just don't care that much about what people think. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you. But when this happens, you need at the front end a counselor to talk with you and talk you down. And at the back end of it, you need something that will get you out of that hole. And you're going to have to get an SRI. And that's my last point. When the time comes that you go out into ministry, you had better know in your city a doctor that can prescribe. And I'm talking about a doctor that understands depression, that just doesn't get out his big old medical book and look under D and say, take these samples, because a doctor has got to sit down with you. I talked to a girl last week that had been through this. They gave her some samples of Lexapro. She took them for a month, felt better, and quit. And I said, the stuff ain't Tylenol. You have to do it maybe for 6 to 9 months before you get off. He didn't tell her that because he'd never been through that. I said, you get back on that and you stay on that and it'll normalize you. And then up front, what was it that got you into this? Let's start dealing with that. But you've got to do them both. So you better find you a doctor, or you better find you a psychiatrist. And that's a word we don't use a lot, especially me. First time I walked into a guy's office that was the guy that was going to prescribe stuff, the deal only lasted 15 minutes. He was a Christian psychiatrist. But I'll be honest, I felt like Saul going to the Witch of Endor, all right? Even though it was a Christian guy who loved the Lord, I just knew the spirit of Spurgeon was going to rise up out of the ground and say, tomorrow you'll be with me. But you better find a psychiatrist that all he does is deal with guys that deal with this, because what amazes you is old stuff to him. But I'll promise you, when the time comes for ministry, you better find a doctor or somebody that when you get these guys or these girls and they're coming, you can talk to them on the front end, but then you can send them to somebody that will physically get them out of that hole. And you'd better find somebody in your church that's been through it, because nobody can talk to a guy in the hole like a guy who's come out of that hole. Well, you got a good depression hymn you want to sing or anything later? I'm done.